Welcome to the Ignite Church Podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We pray that this message will bring you hope and ignite your faith. Now lean in and enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament, closer to the end of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And it says like this. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Mm. How many of you know that we're living in evil days?
Yeah.
It's not because of all of the things that we're seeing in the news. It's just basically that we are living in days that are bad.
Yeah.
This is written thousands and thousands of years ago, and yet the apostles telling the church of Ephesus, redeem your time because the days are evil.
Yeah.
So back then the days were evil. Today the days are evil. Look at where it says this. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit."
Amen.
"Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord."
Amen.
"Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." You know, it's interesting that it says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And I love how it says here, do not be drunk with wine, right, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Before we went live, we had some worship, right? One of the songs that we were singing during worship, it talked about new wine, right? It said, make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. And it says, where there is new wine, there is new power.
Yeah.
But here the apostle is telling the church, hey, don't be drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Why does he say that? He just said a couple of verses before, be careful, be alert, be diligent because the days are evil. And then he goes on to saying, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Meaning, the only way that you can live a successful life in these evil days is filled of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
It's the only way, it's filled with the Spirit of God. But he goes on to saying, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. Let me share with you what happened this weekend. My wife and I, my brother and sister-in-law and our kids, we went for a mini vacation to Orlando, right? We didn't go to the parks. We just decided just to go to Orlando and just relax, right? And you're like, why did you do that? Why didn't you just go to your clubhouse pool and just chill there? No, we wanted to get away a little bit and just relax, right? We stayed at this nice resort and it was very family accommodating. And so we went to the pool, we had fun. It was first time for some of the kids to get in the pool. So they got excited and about the water and stuff, but there was a catch. So we went to this resort, right? But part of going to this resort was the fact that we had to do like a 2-hour tour of a timeshare thing. Right? So we knew that we had to do this, but we, you know, it was like, whatever, we'll go, they give us a nice resort and 2 hours of our day isn't much, right? But it's interesting that as we went through this tour, right, we started seeing these nice buildings and these nice, they give you all this information. Those of you that have ever done the timeshare type of tour, you know, they give you like, they tell you, oh, look, you'll get this and you'll get that. And they'll put everything pretty for you, right? And then you sit down with a person and the person starts sharing with you, you know, like, what's it going to cost? What are the benefits? This and this and that. And it's funny because we went in already with a predisposed to say no, right? We went in with a predisposed to say no because right now we don't need that, right? But it's interesting how you come to God already predisposed to say no.
Wow.
Not realizing that God has many things ready for you.
Amen.
So we came predisposed, no, right? But as we were going through the demonstration, my heart was like, say yes, say yes. But then my mind was saying, say no, because you start calculating. The same thing happens with our faith.
Yeah.
right? Our heart believes, but our mind doesn't.
Wow.
Our heart wants to go for all the things that God has for us because it's not a gimmick. God is not a timeshare salesperson. God is not a resort. God is almighty. God is all powerful. And he has life. He has joy. Yeah. He has peace, right? And he wants to give it to you all for free. But we, when we come to him, we want it. We believe it. But our mind says, no.
Wow.
That's why the Bible says, do not conform to the standards of these worlds, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here is, you know, we're going through this whole thing, and you know, we said no, if you're wondering if we said yes or no. We said no, but my wife and I walked away thinking about a couple of things, right? We said no for many reasons, right? But mainly because it just wasn't a good timing for us, you know? We're expecting our second baby and stuff like that. It just didn't make economical sense at the moment to take that risk or take that next step. But as we started to think about this, as we were leaving the tour and later on today, you know, as we were driving down from Orlando, we started talking about this, you know, what legacy are you leaving your children? What legacy are you leaving your coworkers? What legacy are you leaving your family? You know, this was, they talked to us, and part of the speech of buying one of these things is like, oh, you know, you're getting a deed. You could leave it to your children and your grandchildren and your children's grandchildren, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's there, we have a full vacation. And when you think about it, they're like, wow, it sounds like a great idea. Why not do it? You know, and it is a great idea for many people, and you know, go for it, right? If you could do it, if you have the means, go for it. But today I'm talking about not a timeshare. I'm talking about your life. What legacy are you leaving behind? What legacy are you leaving your children? You know, if you have some people, they just, they concentrate on the financial legacy, and that's important because you don't want to die and then leave your children in debt, especially with your debt. You want to leave them free of debt. You want to leave them, if you could, with a cushion, you know, to be able to go on in advance. You want to leave them, if you could, with an education, a college education already in place, right? But I think the best legacy that you can leave your children is a godly legacy.
Amen.
It's one that you could help them in these evil days walk circumspectly.
Amen.
Is walk as wise people and not unwise people. Yeah. Using their time rightfully and not unrightfully. It's leaving them a legacy of blessing and not a legacy of pain. You know, I see so many people that they go on, they pass on, and then they leave their children in pain and in suffering.
Yeah.
So I ask you tonight, what legacy are you leaving behind? What legacy are you leaving your children? You know, when we come to God, God promises us not a legacy. He promises us and he gives us an eternal life.
Amen. Yeah.
But aside from eternal life, he promises us a blessing that does not carry sorrow.
Yeah.
Have you ever been blessed, but yet that blessing carried a sorrow? Let me explain. You thought that it was a blessing. You know, somebody gave you something. They gave you a brand new car. They told you, hey, Damaris, here's a brand new car. You got so excited because they gave you a brand new car, but you didn't calculate the fact that you had to pay the payments of that brand new car. So it was a blessing, but it carried a sorrow. The blessing that God gives it, he tells you, here's your brand new car. It's paid off. Go and enjoy. That's a blessing that doesn't carry sorrow. Did you know that you could leave that legacy? The blessing that doesn't carry sorrow. What legacy are you leaving your coworkers? Think about it for a moment. If you are to leave that company that you're working on right now and go to another company, what would you be remembered by? Would you be remembered as a nagging, angry, you know, person, always, you know, doesn't drink their coffee in the morning? They'll probably say that about me, you know, about the coffee in the morning. You know, I had a bad attitude. No, I don't have a bad attitude. But would they be, would you be remembered by that? Or would you be remembered about, like, man, Eric was the type of person that anytime I was going through something, I could talk to him about it and he wouldn't judge me.
Yeah.
Sometimes he wouldn't even tell me anything. He would just listen to me and that's all I needed.
Yeah.
Would you be remembered like that person? What legacy are you leaving your family? Could your family count on you? You might say, well, yeah, I don't have the means. We're not talking about financial means right now. We're talking about you. Could they count on you? Not your bank account. Could they count on you? What legacy are you leaving your friends? Are you the type of friend that, you know, God forbid tomorrow you go, you know, and you leave your friends behind? Would you be remembered as, man, you know, That person was such a loving, caring person. Mm-hmm. That person was selfless. Didn't, you know, they preferred that I had something than they had it all. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed with many friends. Some have gone, some have come, you know, some remain. But I've seen it all. I've seen people that have had a lot. I've seen people that started here, now they're up here. Some that started up here, now they're down here.
Yeah.
My goal with all my friends is that I stay the same. In the fact that I could remain a blessing to them. That the day that the Lord takes me, that my family would say, Eric was a godly man.
Amen.
That I leave the legacy to my children, that even though they may be living in evil times, I left them the instructions to walk circumspectly, wise and not unwise in days that are evil.
Amen.
So you may say, well, what does that have to do with, you know, with any of this? Well, look at this verse in this story, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus is walking, right? And he's talking to the crowds. And out of the crowd says that there comes this guy running. One man comes running and kneels before him and asks him, good teacher, what should I do to inherit the eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to Jesus, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And I love this verse. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. Amen. Verse 22 says, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, it's interesting. This Jesus is walking down the street, right? And he's talking to people, and this guy comes running. He kneels down and he asks him one important question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Think about that for a moment. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Not temporary life, but eternal life. And Jesus is like, you know the commandments. You know, he probably saw him. He saw that he was a scholar. He had discernment that he had studied the word and he knew what was in the word. So just Jesus tells him, you know it. Don't commit adultery. Don't defraud someone. You know, don't steal. Honor your mother and your father. And the guy felt proud. He felt excited. He's like, I've already done this since my youth. I've been doing this, so I'm good. But Jesus said, it says Jesus loved him and said, one thing you still lack. Sell whatever you want. Jesus was not interested in his money.
Yeah.
Jesus was interested in his heart.
Amen.
He said, go and sell whatever you have. Give it to the poor. Don't just sell it. Do something wise with it.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes we make unwise decisions. You know, because we do things out of impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably could have gone out and done it out of impulse. But Jesus said, go and sell whatever you have. Give it to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. What did the guy come asking? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?
Yeah.
Jesus said, you will have treasure in heaven. And he said, now come, pick up your cross and follow me. There's only two sets of people that Jesus ever said that in the Bible to. He said it to his disciples and he said it to this young man. But he walked away sorrow. He walked away sad because he had great possessions. You know, it's sad. I started thinking about this. How many times do we approach God's throne? God, here I am. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. And God starts to do what we prayed for or what we asked for.
Yeah.
And yet we walk away sad.
Mm.
And we walk away sorrow with sorrow because it's not what we thought God was going to do or what we thought God was going to give us. Probably the young man thought, well, you know what? I'm leaving a great legacy. I have obeyed my mom and my father all my life. I haven't defrauded anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen. I haven't killed anyone. But he had one thing. His heart was divided.
Yeah.
His heart wanted eternal life, but at the same time, it wanted the temporary riches of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's where we have a reality check in our lives. You know, are we setting ourselves up for eternal, or are we setting ourselves up for earthly temporary things?
Yeah.
Because God, when he says in his word, is that he wants all of us.
Amen.
He says you can't obey two masters, because you obey one more than the other. You love one more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he says you can't love God and love money. And there's nothing wrong with money, because money is necessary, but it's the love for money.
Yeah.
See, he said, go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure. He assured him, you will have treasure. There's only one other reference in the Bible that I could think about that Jesus assures someone else something in heaven. And it's when he is dying on the cross and there's two people beside him. And one of them is laughing at Jesus and the other one says, would you please remember me in your kingdom? And he says, assuredly, today you will be in the kingdom with me.
Yeah. Amen.
What a great promise.
Yeah.
What an amazing promise. So, where's your treasure? Is your treasure here or is your treasure there? What are you leaving for your co-workers? What are you leaving for your family? What are you leaving for your friends? What are you leaving for your neighbor? Are you more concerned with a treasure here that you've forgotten about the greatest treasure, which is the intangible things in life?
Amen.
Those are the greatest treasures.
Amen.
The intangible things in life. We left the timeshare and we kept on thinking. At least I kept on thinking, did I make the right choice? Like, it was such a great deal. Why did I leave it behind? You know, and then my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law were like, well, why did you guys do it? You know, we could have done this, we could have done that. I'm like, and you're like, why do I? Let me ask you a question. How many times have you been offered the greatest offer, which is eternal life?
Yeah.
And you walked away and thought, should I have received it? Should I have given Jesus my heart? Should I have obeyed him? Should I have followed after him? And you walk thinking, and you're like, you think that the offer is done, like my timeshare offer was done. I had no other way of going back. The beautiful thing about God is he is a merciful, loving,
wow,
extending,
good,
gracious,
amen,
unending,
yeah,
open doors.
Yes.
God. He doesn't limit his deal.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, your contract, if you don't sign here today, it's over.
Yeah.
In fact, we serve the God of the second chance.
Amen.
Probably there's people here tonight or watching that say, man, I did give my life to God, but I've walked away. He's not going to give me a second chance. Yes, he will.
Amen.
And he'll give you a third.
Yeah.
And he'll give you a fourth.
Amen.
And he'll give you a fifth.
Amen.
And he'll even give you up to how many chances you need. Because when he died on that cross for us, he didn't say, forgive them once.
Right.
He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
It wasn't a one thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a 24-hour commitment.
Yeah.
It was an eternal commitment.
That's right.
And tonight, I want you to just think for a moment. Where are you with God tonight? Mm. Probably you're like that person that sounds the deal is great, but you have all these mixed emotions and you don't know what to do. The best thing I could tell you is give him a chance.
Amen.
You know when you go and you buy something for a 30-day free trial, money back guarantee? Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing about God is that you don't need your money back guaranteed. He's guaranteed you eternal life.
Amen.
He doesn't ask you to sign here on the dotted line. He just says, give me a chance.
Yep.
Give me a chance. Give me a chance. This young man had a chance. But his heart was waging war within, I want eternal life, but I want my money. And he could have been smart about it. He could have asked Jesus a second question.
Yeah.
But he only stayed with one question. Sometimes we do the same thing. We come to God and we ask one question and God says no. Or God says this and God says that. Why don't we ask God a second question?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we got to ask questions to better understand things in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we walk blindly because we don't ask. The Bible says you don't have because you don't ask. Mm. And when you ask wrongly.
Yeah.
So don't worry, if you're asking God things for tonight that you have not received in the past, keep on asking. God will show you Amen. The way.
Amen.
That young man could have said, okay, let's make a deal. You know, I don't know. He could have made a couple things. He could have said, all right, okay, what is this guarantee? But he didn't. He walked away. And many times we come to God and God offers us something. Mm. And when God offers something, of course, he puts terms.
Yeah.
But those terms are not to hurt you. Those terms are not to push you away. Those terms are to protect you. God is not into small writing. He's not he's not a banker that gives you all these big flashy marketing and in the bottom he gives you a bunch of small writing that is to hurt you. God is clear in what he gives you. God is clear in what he offers you. He said, I gave my son because I loved you, and in return, you could come to me.
Amen.
We forget about that a lot of times. Jesus did not have to come if he didn't want to. Jesus did not die saying, oh, I'm going to die and millions of people are going to come to God the Father. No, Jesus died because he loved you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his love was without condition.
Yeah.
His love was without commitment of expecting you to commit to him.
Mm-hmm.
His love was his commitment to you.
Amen.
Wow.
Saying, I commit to you.
Yeah.
I love you so much. You're so screwed up. You're so lost and empty that the only way I know that you could have eternal life, the only way I know you could have joy once again, the only way I know is by me dying for you.
Amen.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
He's not into timeshares. You don't have to block out your calendar. You don't have to select the certain days.
Yeah.
He's available 365 days.
Amen.
24/7.
Wow.
He's closer than the air you breathe.
Yeah.
He is already answering the prayer you already are about to ask because he knows it before it comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
But all he says is, give me a chance.
Yes.
Give me a chance. What legacy are you leaving behind? If you had a chance today, which you do, to say, I want to leave a godly legacy, it starts off by saying, Jesus, I need you.
Amen.
Can't leave a godly legacy without God.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we do it. We think we're doing it. And we think that because we carry the word Christian over us, oh, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm leaving a godly legacy. No, you leave a godly legacy when you let the word of God lead you.
Yeah,
yeah. Amen.
It's the only way you can leave a godly legacy. So I end this conversation with you guys with that word that we read early on. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. I want to pray tonight, and I want to pray for those who are here in this room and those who are watching us tonight and those who will watch this later on as a repost. This song says, come to the altar. And you know, a lot of us don't know what an altar is because the 21st century church has changed the altar into a stage. And we don't realize what an altar is, but the altar, according to the word of God, is a place of sacrifice. It's not only a place of sacrifice, it's a place of surrender.
Wow.
Not only a place of surrender, but it's a place of restoration, a place of healing, a place of salvation. It is at the altar where God meets you, because it is there where he glorifies himself. It's not a stage to perform. It's an altar of sacrifice. And like I said early on in the preaching, sometimes we make these prayers and we say, God, make me an offering. Make me a vessel. And we don't realize what we're praying. We're like this young man that is praying, hey, what do I need to do to gain eternal life? And then when God tells us, oh, it's going to require some pressing. It's going to require, you know, you want to be an offering? Get ready because you're going to get burned.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's okay. Walk away with sadness. What would have happened if that young man, think about this, if that young man would have said yes to Jesus, he would have been the 13th disciple.
Wow. Wow, so true.
But he walked away sad.
Wow.
He would have been the 13th disciple. Instead of 12, there would have been 13. And when Judas would have betrayed Jesus, he would have remained as the 12th disciple. Probably would have had a book in the Bible. It doesn't say his name. It just says it's a young, rich man. The rich young man's book. You know, I don't know. But he walked away sorrowful. He walked away sad. And I want to ask you tonight, what is God asking of you tonight? What, you know, you're asking God for something. Like this young man was asking God. But God, Jesus saw him, loved him, and said, but one thing you lack. What's that one thing you lack tonight? What's that one thing you lack? Probably, well, I say I lack a lot of things. I have millions of things I lack. But we all know that one thing. That thing, quote unquote. What's that one thing that we lack? Let's worship tonight. We'll continue broadcasting this part. Yeah, let's continue broadcasting. Join us in song.
Are you burdened and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
Worship tonight with us, guys.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
For joy, from the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood.
Encourage you that are watching tonight, just worship with us this song. If you're in your living room, not in your car, but if you're in your living room, just close your eyes and raise your hands. Just worship God. Let the Spirit of God minister to your heart. If that's you, you need to come to the altar tonight. Just say, Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, I come to you. Let's worship.
Christ is risen. Down before him. come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh,
we worship you, God. We worship you, God. Father God, we worship you tonight, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Lord, I pray for everyone that is watching tonight and for everyone that is in this room tonight as well, God. I pray that you will bless them, Father God. I pray that you will remind them how much you love them, God. Through your word tonight, we realize, God, that we could approach you, Jesus, that you are a loving God, that you are a forgiving God, that you are, we are never too far from you. You are the God of the second chance. Father God, I pray that tonight all fear will fall, all shame will be destroyed, Father God, all guilt will be removed, Lord, and that your love and your peace will flow through those, through IG, through Facebook, to everyone who's watching tonight, to everyone in this room tonight, God, that we will be reminded, Lord, that you love us, God, that nothing we have done, Lord, is too impossible for you to forgive, God, that, Lord, we are never too far from you, Lord, and you are near to us. You are near to the brokenhearted. You are near to the sinner. You are near to all of us, God, for we all have fallen short of your glory, God, and we all need you, God. I love you, God, and I praise you tonight, God. I pray tonight, if there's someone watching us that says, man, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to accept that offer. I don't want to think tomorrow, oh, why didn't I do it last night? Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it tonight. Tomorrow you're not assured. You're not assured tomorrow. Today I found out that one of a young little boy that we do missions in DR, in Dominican Republic, and found out that today he went to be with the Lord. This young little kid, I don't know, he was probably in his early teens. And he knew Jesus. He came to the altar, and now he's rejoicing in God's presence. Why do I bring that up? Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't even know what a couple hours holds from now. But you know what holds now. You're now here. You have the opportunity to say, yes. Jesus, I need you. Don't wait till tomorrow. You could just say this simple prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me, because I've done wrong. But I believe you died for me to make me right. So I open my life to you. Do as you please. Give me that life you promised. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Simple like that. That simple prayer. If you did that prayer, I want to continue praying for you and believing with you for God to move in your life. Amen. You can send us a DM right there, or excuse me, a message through Facebook. Just let us know, hey man, I made that prayer with Eric last night. I made that prayer with Eric, whatever time you're watching this, you know. I want to pray for you. I will personally reach out to you. Yeah. I just want to just congratulate you for starting your new relationship with Jesus and just to pray with you.
Amen.
So until next time, remember, God bless you. The best is yet to come. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. We'll see you then. God bless you guys.
At Ignite, we count it a blessing to engage each week with supporters just like you. If you were blessed by today's word, subscribe to our podcast and share it with someone you know. We believe in spreading the message of Jesus like a wildfire. Thank you for your support, and be sure to check us out on any of our social media platforms at Church Ignite. Until next time, be blessed, and remember, the best is yet to come.